welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a week dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello and welcome to episode number 178. Of the Yawning Self-Help Podcast. How are you doing, Sean?
We're both seem to be yawning. Sorry, what was that?
I think it's got anything to do with the kind of clocks going... Well, they went the right direction for sleep. Well, for extra
they did.
Sleep.
I just had a lot going on. Did you?
Did I? Hmm. I do. I still do right now.
I do. Yeah.
I do. And I will do. Yeah, forevermore. We're not going to be yawning during this episode. What are we talking about today?
We're talking about why do we pick the wrong partners?
Yeah, relationship stuff.
Why do we continue to pick the wrong
partners? Over and over again. Not you and me, that is. We're happily married. You
know, we're in there.
Got there in the end, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah. And it's been so lovely being married to you all these times.
liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website for any people that are new to the show. Sean also writes a blog each week to accompany the podcast. Do you actually write it or do you dictate it? I was wondering the other day.
No, I write it.
Okay, just wondering.
Would you use Siri for that?
Well, you could do. I mean, you've been able to dictate on a Mac and all sorts for...
I've used Dragon before.
Right.
But, never found it satisfactory.
Not quite there. Maybe because I've just put Siri... I've updated my Mac, so I've got Siri on here now. Just thought that maybe it's a bit better than it.
I'll play with it.
Have a go. I was wondering, out of intrigue. So you check out the website... for all the show notes and links, I'm going to mention a few links in this show, and all the previous episodes are online for your perusal or your audio.
Delectation.
Exactly. I want to mention our partners, 123 Friday. If you want to support the show in a simple, quick way and get something great in return, go to the website or click on the link in the email. And basically, for £10 a year, you can back up all your photos, videos and contacts at the click of a button. It's really straightforward, and you support the show at the same time. Do you want to know an interesting little fact as well about it?
Go on.
If you tell your friends about it, you can make a little bit of money on the side.
Oh, yeah, right, they do, yeah.
Yeah,
they do.
It's invitation only, so yeah, once you join, you get a little referral code, you can spread it out there and, it's pretty cool little idea, actually.
It's good.
But yeah. Take a look.
See where it goes.
What you been up to, Sean?
I've been on a mindfulness course. I want to give a shout out for Geraldine Thomas, who runs something called Mindflow.
Mindflow. Okay.
Yeah. And
should we stick a link in the notes?
That'd be a good idea.
Should I have a little search?
We'll do that. I'll let you have that.
Yeah. Go on.
When we're done. Although a lot of the stuff that we're doing on the program, I have done already. It's part of going on the register of the International Register of Mindfulness Teachers kind of stuff. So I have to do so many hours continuing professional development each year, so it seems like a good thing to do.
Cool.
But she does amazing work, amazing lady. And if you live anywhere in the Northwest, you can pick up on the stuff that she does. So we'll stick the link up.
We will.
But she runs programs and does loads of amazing work with young kids and things.
Cool, man. All right, we'll investigate and we'll put the link in the show notes as promised. I got some big news.
Yeah.
I'm an uncle. Hey.
Yeah.
Exciting weekend in the Lamb family.
Yeah.
My sister, I had a little one on Saturday. Some point.
So how heavy was it? You know,
7 pounds 4 ounces.
Yeah, he looked like a good size, but not too big.
Yeah, he was about spot on, really. Not too big.
Yeah.
Not too small. All that.
And I heard a rumour that your second name was Edward, is that right?
Middle name is Edward.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, that's all right. I know. Well, do you blame him, really? Come on, look at me. Apparently not named after me.
I'm going to say, how much did you pay him?
So it's all very exciting in our household over the weekend, possibly why we're all so shattered. It was all go running around here, there, and everywhere, just trying to make sure everyone's happy and, you know.
Yeah, that's good. It's good. Yeah, it's lovely when that happens. And he looks a lovely little boy.
I've been looking forward to being an uncle for a while because, you know, I'm looking forward to kind of winding the little one up and being able to kind of get out of there and, let my sister pick up the pieces. So, it's good fun. So, but should we crack on with the show?
Yeah.
We've had an email from a listener, as we encourage all to do, if there's anything you'd like us to discuss. And this female listener... basically keeps picking the wrong person in a relationship. What was the actual wording she used? Yeah, or her friend used the wording that, why do we accept the love we think we deserve? Basically, and what we're going to use the title of the podcast is, why do we fall for the wrong person? But we've all seen it, haven't we, Sean? Friends that we... It's hard to say at the time when they're going out with the person, him or her, that, you know, you don't like that person. But as soon as it's over, as it invariably will be, you say, ah, thank goodness for that. I never liked that.
And then everybody tells you that.
Yeah. I know.
I think that some of our concepts are wrong. In the sense that we're talking about this, why do we fall for the wrong person? Or why do we accept the love we think we deserve? And I think there's two things in that. The first one is that it's not the wrong person. I'll explain that in a minute. And the second one is we don't think about the love that we get. Because love isn't something that you think about. It's something that you feel about. And we're not very good at feelings. So if you go to baseline psychology, there's a guy called John Bowlby. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to use a link at the end to send you to some of his books that you'll find interesting. But he's the guy who did all the original work on attachment theory. And attachment theory works like this. A baby's born, and the first person that they interact with is usually the primary caregiver, usually the mother. And that's where the primary attachment is made. Secondary attachment is to the father, who's the secondary caregiver.
Yeah.
The issues then are the qualities of those attachments that we learn from that word one start to create the way that we see relationships. So by the time a child's about three, it already understands what a boy is, what a girl is, what a man is, what a woman is, what a husband is, what a wife is. They're already in what Bowlby described as internal working models. Yeah. So that, let's say as a boy, I observe maybe my mother and my sisters, and I develop this internal working model of what a female is.
Okay.
When I'm observing my mother and my father together, I start to develop an internal working model about what a wife is.
Yep. Yeah. Or how a relationship works.
Yeah. So I've got that logged into my programming in the mind-brain system. Not consciously, I'm not aware of what I'm doing, but then I go out in the world. And when I see out there what I experienced when I was a child, then it becomes obvious that that's what a wife is. So I go and pick out a woman who's going to be the same as I was brought up with.
Yep.
Now, if your relationship as a child with your parents and your parents' relationship was a positive and zippity-doo-dah one, then it may be that your internal working model of what a partner is something that is really powerful and successful, and you go out and you pick the right person and you go sail off into the sunset.
Yep.
If you've got a dysfunctional family at any level, or you've had dysfunction yourself for some reason, so that the working model gets kind of damaged or skewed, then you're going to unconsciously go out and pick a partner who matches the model. Now, it could be that you're a young woman and your father beat the tar out of you every Friday night. Yeah, and although we're not aware of it, this becomes an internal working model about what a relationship between a female and a male is. So it could be that you then go out and unconsciously pick someone who's going to replicate similar behaviours.
Yep.
So what we do then is we leave that person. We say, I'm not going to tolerate that anymore. And because we haven't changed the internal working model, we go off and pick someone else who does exactly the same thing again. Below our awareness. And when we meet them, we think, no, they're wonderful, they're completely different. But when it comes down to it, we pick the same characteristics in somebody.
This time it'll be different, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then it isn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we can all change, can't we? And, well, what was your... Growing up, we'd speak about your dad a lot. But what was the relationship like between your mum and your dad?
My father was a very dominant bully to my mother, really.
We did one about bullying last week, I should say. But yeah, not speaking like that.
So my father would regularly bring my mother to tears as a kind of a form of demonstration of power and control, really.
Yep.
When I went out in the world, the first relationships I picked were replications of my father. that kind of tough to say out loud this, but kind of the selfish negativity of my father was replicated in my initial relationships.
Yep.
Yeah, and it took me a long time before I changed.
Were you aware of that though? Like, no. You do things and you think, nope. Oh, blimey heck, I'm turning into me dad.
No, it'd be the other way around. It'd be like I'd married my dad.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It was that kind of negativity.
Sorry, yeah, okay.
Going on, yeah. Because it's weird. There's an internal working models. What a man, what's a woman? Now, the thing is, I was brought up predominantly with three sisters and a mother. My father wasn't there other than to be negative. So in my mind, being male wasn't positive.
Right.
So I wasn't going to replicate my father. I was more likely to replicate my mother as a relationship style, because she was the predominant working model that I'm observing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I end up in that dilemma as a kid, where I know I'm not a girl, and I know that I don't identify with being a boy, and I discovered that I wasn't gay. Therefore, there's three sexes on the planet. There's men, women, and me.
Hmm.
That's what it felt like.
Yep.
And it took me a long time to unravel that and work that one out in life. But I kept picking people who could treat me as negatively as my father did.
Right.
So I replicated the negativity of my childhood again and again in relationships.
Well, not again and again infinitely, because you've managed to flick a switch, or you managed to gradually change things. So what?
I got there in the end.
Yeah.
But it's a case of changing the internal working model. Okay, it's as simple as this. Imagine that you're buying a new car, and when you go out, and the more you tune into the car, the more that you sit in it, touch it, drive it, think about it, when you go out in the world, you see those cars all around you. They've always been there, but you've never seen them before.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they become more and more obvious to you because now you're tuned into them.
Bethan said that recently, actually, because we just bought a new car.
Yeah.
Now Bethan's saying all of a sudden how much... It's a Volvo.
Yeah.
And she's saying how many Volvos she sees around all of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah.
you know? But I had... Because I don't flash the cash that much. I get a car and I keep it for 5-6 years, really.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to... it's an important decision. So I'd been thinking for... I knew our other car was sort of on the way out. It was kind of a bit small for our family as well, anyway. So for months beforehand, I'd been kind of thinking, you know, I'd Auto Trader on my phone, the app, and I'd been looking at cars passing by in the street and sizing them up and that kind of thing. Looking at reviews on YouTube. And so, yeah, my whole world, all of a sudden, I was seeing these cars everywhere. The one that I've got parked on your driveway out there.
Yeah.
So, I was either way around. I was seeing them beforehand. I still see them now, but Bethan all of a sudden is like, whoa, there's loads of Volvos everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But the thing is that once you're tuned into something, that's what you see.
Yeah.
And it's that same part of our system. If we're tuned into that is what an acceptable partner is, that's what we see. And the people around us that might be better for us, would be a better fit, would give us a better life, we don't see them as partners because they don't fit the internal working model. And the only way I know to change your internal working model is either to do it the hard way, which is how many relationships do you want to have before you knock your internal working model into something that works for you in an everyday sense, or you have to go into some form of therapy and examine how and why you became the way you did.
Right.
Yeah. And that's one of those things in therapy where people, need to go back and kind of retrace what happened to them when they were children.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the answers are back there.
Yep. And that's hard. Well, that's hard work, isn't it? Sometimes
yeah, and it can be quite emotional, quite painful.
Yep.
Yeah. Very often we bury and avoid, and that's what allows us to do things without seeing it so clearly.
Okay.
You know.
So you got to talk to someone, basically.
Yeah.
Not always your best pal, maybe, that's kind of saying, stick in there, next one will be all right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you need to go to someone who's neutral.
Let's get into town, eh? Let's have a drink.
Well, one of the things you can do, if you are in a dodgy relationship, if both people are in a dodgy relationship because they both got faulty internal working models, if they're both prepared to go into therapy together, as in relationship therapy, they've got a chance of solving it, or at least changing their working models, so that if they do finish that relationship, they can both go on to new and better ones.
Mm. I'm going to post a link to various articles and blogs, but one of them is titled, and I'm going to feeling you won't agree with this, but the title is "Why Falling in Love with the Wrong Person is Totally the Right Thing to Do."
Well, I could agree with that, because when you fall in love with somebody and it ends up being the wrong person, it becomes the right thing to do because you can learn from it.
Yeah, that was the general gist of the article.
I go with that. I get that. But that's learning the hard way.
Yeah.
You know?
But I think it was also saying how that if you go through all these relationships, that when the right one finally comes, that it's worth it because you can look back on and think, wow, finally, this is, you know...
Yeah.
This is what it's all about. But I guess the issue with that is, yeah, you don't have to go through those dozens and dozens potentially
of
painful relationships. Because, you know, I'm fortunate, you know, I found Mrs. Right early on.
Hmm. But then you see, if you look at your parents, and your parents are very positive people. So I suspect that you guys, you know, your brother and your sister, and you have a good internal working model of what a partner is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we must do. We do, because we're all pretty happy and settled. I mean, and all three of us, my sister, my brother and myself, we didn't play the field much. We didn't do that whole thing of, you know, trying out with flipping hundreds and hundreds of partners and going out with different girls and all that, and boys. It was kind of, we've all had, you know, two or three boyfriend, girlfriends beforehand, but we kind of all knew as soon as we saw that person. We didn't play the field too much, is what we did.
Yeah.
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 Maybe we knew subconsciously, you know, who we were looking for and just steered clear of trouble. We had this kind of, like, X-ray vision for troublesome relationships.
But maybe that is, again, it's what you're learning when you're young.
Yeah, well, when I was young, I mean, it was an issue for me, actually, because a lot of my other friends were, you know, dating different girls all the time and sometimes taking girls back home or going to theirs on nights out, and I was like not up for all that at all, really.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was a bit kind of like, well, maybe I should be doing that, maybe I should be seeing a different girl every week and all that, but I don't regret it now at all, but at the time I remember thinking, oh, being on a bit of a downer about it.
So, I
don't know.
Yeah.
Tricky.
Yeah, but if we look at any of us, I mean, anyone that's listening to this, if you look at the nature of the relationships that you've made, whether you like them or you don't, and then go back to that, to the early stuff that you experienced as a child. It could be, if things haven't worked for you, it could be that the stuff came from what you observed with your parents, or it could be slightly different to that. It could be what you observed with a sibling and their partner. It's where we pick it up from. But if we look at it, and we look at it in an analytical way, usually we can see where it comes from.
Yeah, is it pretty obvious as well when you get to know a person? Or it's maybe tricky sometimes getting the real truth out, but I guess you have to kind of dig and get to the bottom of it, eh?
Yeah. But once you get into it and you can see it, that's where the change can begin to happen.
Yeah.
And one of the problems can be, and I've seen this quite a few times, where I've worked with women who have had relationships with men who have become maybe aggressive and violent and a bit kind of rough. And we talk about, you know, you need a different kind of person. And what they do is they go and pick somebody who is a different kind of person, but doesn't match the internal working model because that hasn't changed. And then they come along and say to me, and this is like a verbatim quote, this woman saying to me, I'd rather he smack me in the mouth as a show of emotion rather than kept being nice to me all the time. Because she couldn't relate the idea of love and care with someone who was being nurturing and nice.
Really?
Her internal working model was emotion was passion. Passion equaled violence. Violence equaled sex. There's all kinds of things that tied together in this odd knot inside her. And until she undid the knot and changed the internal working model, she couldn't find a normal, if that's a word, relationship that didn't have all those things in it satisfying.
Right.
Mm.
Blimey.
It's a bit odd, isn't it? I think that the thing that's important that is realising that the mind-brain is neutral. it's us that puts the value of this is right, wrong, good, bad, should, shouldn't.
Yep.
The mind brain just learns a habit. And it doesn't care whether the habit is positive or negative. Us people wouldn't self-harm and people wouldn't do bad things to themselves, but they do, because that's the habit that they've learned.
Yeah, and another habit is being in a relationship full stop. And sometimes maybe we need to teach ourselves to maybe take some time out from relationships.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, not from our own.
Where are you going with this?
When you're in the in-between phase, what I'm saying is there's an article that I'm going to post, Huffington Post. This is why you keep falling for the wrong guy, and there's seven reasons why you keep falling for the wrong person. And the first one is the fear of being alone. And maybe this, maybe we need to do a bit of work on that initial fear of being alone. Maybe, because I waited a long time, I mean, for the right relationship, really. And I didn't have a girlfriend for, in some cases, like, multiple years when I'm, like, past the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't mind being alone, really, because I kind of assumed or knew that at some point it would happen.
But what you're saying,
whereas
when
other
you,
people will, you know, keep trying different relationship, and they're all kind of damaging them.
But what you're saying is your internal working model of what being a person is it's okay to be on your own. The person who fears being on their own and keeps having to remake and remake and remake is because their internal working model is you've got to be with somebody, you've got to be with somebody, you've got to be with somebody.
Yeah.
And that's the bit that is important, because you need to go through these seven, but all of them represent an internal working model.
Okay. So number two is you haven't given any thought to your relationship deal breakers. Okay. So that's, like,
so that's just like a habitual same problem over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think you can change him. Oh, no. Yeah, number three. You think you can change him. So that's the whole, you can't change the world, you can only change yourself.
Yeah, and again, learn, model, yeah, you can change him, because that's what I've seen.
Yeah.
And until we learn we can't, then that's what it's going to be like.
Number four, you haven't figured out what you need in life, independent of relationships.
Again, internal working model, am I allowed to have a life that's independent of relationships?
This is all living the present stuff, isn't it, man?
Yeah.
Go back to episode 101 and do the little audio course online. Get the book from the website and all.
Yeah.
What are we up to?
I like the number five.
Yeah.
You choose guys who have eerily similar qualities. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that could be you choose girls, couldn't it? It's either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing specifically wrong with that, though, is there? I mean, qualities and like things you like to do in your spare time are different, I guess, aren't they?
If you pick someone who likes to kind of hit you over the head with a hammer, and then you go and find someone else who likes hitting you over the head with a hammer, you've just replicated something that doesn't work for you.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But I think, I mean, personally, in my relationship, we have quite different qualities, myself and Bethan. But quite different personalities in a lot of ways.
But do you make up a whole person between you?
Yeah, I think so.
That's the point, isn't it?
It's like, team. Good team. You may be afraid of commitment without even realising it.
Again, below awareness, habit, learning model inside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And finally, you don't think you deserve better.
That's a classic internal working model. You know, I don't deserve happiness. I don't deserve better. Negative self-image.
Well, it comes back to that line that the friend of the person that emailed has said to her, why do we accept the love we think we deserve? So, yeah, it's about, having a low estimation of ourselves, really, isn't it?
Yeah. The thing is that our perception will only change if our internal self changes. And then we see the world differently. And that's why you have to start on the inside and work out.
Yeah.
Because if your internal working model isn't right, the most perfect, wonderful person could be sat just beside you and you wouldn't even see it, you wouldn't even know it. Because it wouldn't register as, oh, this is a person who is a partner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to be careful where we're getting our advice from as well. Obviously not this podcast. You're always on solid footing with it, with those guys. Mm. But yeah, as you know, a few of the case studies that we've done on this show of people that have gone through the Living the Present program, it's about just having a good think about who you're spending your time with, not just maybe that person you're in a relationship with, but your friends and your family, that are dishing out advice and, you know, that maybe you're following, which is not helping you at all.
That's one of the reasons why going into therapy can be good. If you've got a good therapist who has no bias.
Do you know any good therapists?
No, I never met one.
No. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because then you're going to get a clean view.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's an important one, isn't it? All right, anything else you want to mention, Isha?
No. The thing that I would just end with is that we all deserve to be happy. We all deserve to be happy and fulfilled. Just that sometimes we've got to do a bit of work to get there. And there's nothing wrong with needing a bit of therapy to get yourself sorted. And sometimes the therapy will be one-to-one, sometimes it will be couples, sometimes it will be you need to read a load of books. There's all kinds of ways that you get those bits of information that allow you to change inside.
Yep.
And that's what's important.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. What's your resource then?
Well, I got two. One is the Amazon link to the whole set of Bowlby books, John Bowlby.
Yeah.
Attachment theory, all worth looking at, and all benefit people who have relationship problems.
Okay.
Yeah, and the other one is my classic book, second one I wrote, Knicker Elastic, What Colour Is Your Knicker Elastic, which is all about relationships. And it explains what it is that each personality type requires from a relationship. And you can look at the match and mismatch. So that it could be that when you go through Knicker Elastic, you can identify what colour your partner is and what colour you are. And then the issue is, do you match together?
Okay.
Is there a match there? Because we're looking at security, we're looking at how people love, how they give love, how they receive love, and their essential description of self. How do I see me?
Cool.
Yeah, and it kind of sums up the way people function. Yeah.
Brilliant. All right. Mine isn't related to the show at all, actually, but something I saw today. It's Leonardo DiCaprio's latest movie, although it's a documentary. It's called Before the Flood.
It's a documentary. What's that about?
He's an environmentalist, big time. I mean, he's a UN ambassador now for climate change.
Right.
And it's basically him travelling the world, looking at what's going on with climate change. And it's more of a horror movie, actually. And he meets Obama and a lot of chief scientists and all that. You've got to watch it, though, because this is coming thick and fast, man, all this climate change stuff. And I don't think there's anything more important, like, politically or kind of internationally speaking, that we need to address at the moment. So please do check out Before the Flood. It's free to watch on YouTube. I think it's produced by National Geographic.
Yeah, it is. I've just called it up.
Yeah, so it's pretty intense, in-depth, but if you've got family like I do, or you care about people or the world in general, you've got to watch it and start doing your bit, really. I'm quite serious about all this stuff. It's incredible.
Yeah.
What could happen in the next 20, 30 years and beyond. So, yeah, check it out. It's well-made as well. It's cool. And it's Leonardo DiCaprio, so he's awesome, isn't he? Everyone loves him.
Yeah.
He's cool. But he's...
It's funny, when you look at his face relative to how he looked when he was doing the Titanic kind of stuff, when he looked so kind of young, or he did Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
And when you look at that face now, he's changed so much.
Yeah.
It's quite dramatic.
No, well, he's a cool guy, man. He's using his force, his power for good, I think.
That's good.
So check it out. Right, okay, I'll give a quick another mention to 123 Friday, our partners. If you want to support this show and help keep it free forevermore, check out livingthepresent.co.uk/123 and learn a bit about how, by helping to support the show, you can also get a great app that backs up all your photos, videos and contacts for just £10 a year. Really easy to use, and you never know, man, when your phone might fall down a grid or down the toilet. A lot of people manage to drop the phone down the toilet, don't they? You ever heard that?
You had an email this week from somebody who'd managed to delete a load of contents off their phone.
Yeah.
And was saying to you, how can I get it back?
Mm-hmm.
Can you all this kind of stuff. Whereas I guess if they were backed up onto 123, they'd just press a button and it would just come back.
Well,
down.
Sure, man. Certainly for all them, but the memories, photos and videos. And
Yeah,
definitely. So check it out. Livingthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links.
Yep.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter as well. Can't get enough of us, eh?
No.
And
why would you want to?
Yeah. And we'll be back same time next week. Every Thursday morning, a new episode goes live.
Yep.
Right, Sean, you take care.
And you.
See you soon.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.